Halloween is just a week behind us, but if you've been in just about any store lately, you know the Christmas stuff is already on the shelves. And other features of the season are either here or on the way, like dancers getting ready to perform the Nutcracker Ballet. The Eugene Ballet Company offers the Nutcracker again in December, but that's just one offering in a very diverse season, like a lot of the seasons at Eugene Ballet Company. Today we get a chance to delve into the history and works of EBC with Tony Pimble, the artistic director and co-founder. Tony, welcome.
Hello. Thank you for having me, Jeff.
It's very good to have you here. Tell us about the formation, the original formation of the Eugene Ballet Company.
Well, Riley Grennan and I founded the company over 35 years ago. We moved here from Germany, where we had both worked and met, and we took over the Eugene School of Ballet at the time. And we weren't here a month before the Pacifica players came to us and said, would you be interested in creating a soldier's tale with us as a dance piece? And we said yes, and it just found momentum from there. We kept creating performances and eventually created a board and grew from being a really, let's put on a show, Judy, type organization to one of almost $2 million budget, annual budget.
Is it unusual for a city of Eugene's size to have a ballet of your size and complexity?
Yes, it is very unusual. In fact, I think we're unique in the United States for such a small community in the sense of being able to support a company this size. But the arts are very strong in Eugene, and with the Halt Center and endowment funds like the Halt Endowment, the arts get a fair amount of support here, which really helps us to do some very collaborative works amongst the arts organizations in Eugene, as well as doing new works ourselves that we get support for and bringing in guest choreographers. So that's a very positive thing about being here in the Eugene area. But we also tour a lot, too.
I was going to ask about that. You do hit the road pretty often, don't you?
Yes, we do, because we realized that it wasn't enough either in the number of performances that we could present in Eugene and sell for our dancers, but also that we needed to find other funding sources to help us to create enough weeks of work for our dancers. They work 26 weeks a year. And most companies in the United States offer between 28 and 30, say 40 weeks. The really big companies offer 40 weeks. So if you're going to attract good dancers from throughout the United States and also internationally, then you have to be able to provide enough weeks of work to encourage them to come and live in your community and perform here.
If they're with you 26 weeks a year, are they working with other companies part of the year? I mean, do these people who have other ballet jobs?
Yes, they do. Some of them, we have some Japanese dancers that go back and forth. So they work with us from September to April, and then they are back in Japan performing there. We have other dancers who guest teach in the summertime because a lot of companies offer summer schools in the summertime, too.
And so it sounds like they are primarily employed as dancers. They don't have to have day jobs as waiters or librarians or anything like that?
No. Yeah. We our dancers, we actually start very early in the morning. We start at 8, and they work from 8 to 4. When we're out on tour, then they can be out for as long as 5 weeks. We have a tour coming up of the Nutcracker. And in that tour, we will be doing 33 performances, and I think it's 15 different cities, so 15 different venues. And we are touring throughout Oregon. We're also doing Alaska, Anchorage, Alaska, Idaho, Jackson, Wyoming, Walla Walla, Washington, and then various cities in Oregon, including some shows that are coming right up, actually. On November the 19th, we're performing in Florence at the event center there. and in Corvallis at the LaSalle Stewart Center, and then in Coos Bay also. So that's the 19th, the 20th, and the 22nd. And then in Roseburg, we are also performing at the Umpqua Community College on the 23rd with a matinee of Nutcracker, which we have been doing there in Roseburg for many, many years. I think it's over 25 years now.
I think I read that you have something coming up in Klamath Falls. Is that this weekend?
Yes.
Because we did talk to Klamath Falls here, too.
Yes. We have been very busy this fall presenting Cinderella. And this weekend, we have a performance in Bend at the high school on Saturday at 7:30 p.m. And then the next afternoon in Kay Falls at the Ross Ragland Theater at 4:30 p.m. we're performing Cinderella. And one of the nice things for us, and I think for the community too, is that everywhere we go, we, if we can, we incorporate local children, so local dance students. And that will be true of the two performances this weekend in of Cinderella. We will be including little gnomes and sprites from the local schools in our performances.
Tony Pimble's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the artistic director and co-founder of Eugene Ballet Company. We're talking about the history and the current activities of the Eugene Ballet. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange. Maybe you've had some questions or things you wanted to say over the years about the Eugene Ballet's work. 800-838-3760 around the region, 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. How do you coordinate then when you're taking the local kids and putting them on stage in Cinderella or the Nutcracker, for example? I mean, how much time do they get to work with the rest of the company?
They get a very short period of time because a lot of times we're doing a one-night stand, basically. We're coming in that day and rehearsing with the children and performing. So we rely a great deal on the generosity of the dance teachers to get them ready for us. And with the Nutcracker, we usually send company members out as early as end of August, beginning of September, and they audition the children because we have as many as 50 children performing each show in the Nutcracker. And so sometimes the politics can be a little tricky.
Because people want to see their kids on stage?
Yes. And so it helps to have a company member come in and audition the kids so that there can be no favoritism. And then the dance teachers rehearse them in roles. For instance, in the Nutcracker, they perform the bonbons, the party children. We have older girls, teenagers who are possibly looking for a career in dance, performing in Waltz with Flowers with company. And then we have children as young as 5 and 6 who are performing the baby mice. And they are only on stage for a very brief 35 to 40 seconds.
Long enough for the audience to go, "Aw."
Yes, exactly. And for us not to lose any because, you know, they're so small and they get distracted so easily.
Right. All those faces looking at them or the lights blinding them. I'm curious how you keep something like the Nutcracker fresh. I mean, it's something that people expect of pretty much any standing ballet company every holiday season. But how do you keep it fresh and new and interesting to the people who are performing it?
Well, a lot of times dancers move around quite a bit, so we frequently have new dancers coming in. And so, of course, for them, it will be new choreography because most companies have their own version of Nutcracker, including us. So for them, that's interesting. For our dancers that have been with us for quite some time, they don't necessarily do they don't necessarily do the same role every year, and also they hope to work their way up the ranks. For instance, this year we have a dancer, Danielle Talmy, who has been with us for quite a few years now, and she started out as an apprentice with the company, and she has worked her way up and improved and grown as a dancer. And this year she will be debuting as the Sugar Plum Fairy, which is very exciting for her and for us, too, to see someone grow like that.
And it's not just the standards of the ballet world that you do at the Eugene Ballet Company. I mean, in, I was just looking at some of the repertoire. You've actually set a poem from Ken Kesey to ballet, didn't you?
Yes, we did Little Tricker the Squirrel Meets Big Double the Bear, and had James Oliverio wrote the music for that. It was a lot of fun to do, and we did it as a sort of almost like an art project, too, because the set design for it had the feel of more contemporary look, so it was just a suggestion of a tree, and all of the elements were on casters so that they could move around on stage, and it was a lot of fun to do. It was very challenging because we had a very large bear that we had to work with, but it was very lightly built, and that was a huge puppet.
Ah, I remember seeing, I just looked at there's an interview with you on KVAL-TV in Eugene from when that was done, and the bear head is huge. It looks like it's about 5 or 6 feet across.
Yes, it is, and it took a lot to work with it, but it was very lightly built. And so it was really a testament, I think, to the dancers, their patience. Michael Curry designed the bear, and he's done a lot of work with Disney. So he's used to creating puppets that actually have to work outside. So he has to take into account the wind factor.
Oh, sure.
And also the ability of people to work these puppets for a long period of time, because it can be very quickly exhausting if you're dealing with a weight that you're moving around. So he created this bear as lightly as he could. But even so, it was a challenge for our dancers to move it around. So probably the most fun was for those dancers that were the squirrel
right.
And Sally Smith's sister and all those characters.
Tony Pimble, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, artistic director and co-founder of Eugene Ballet Company. Let's talk about what's coming up for the rest of the season. I mean, Nutcracker, obviously, but Tommy coming up in the spring.
Yes, and we're very excited to do that. We have done a lot of rock-type things. We did Dark Side of the Moon a few years back, and we've brought that back a number of times, and people really enjoy that. And so we'll be working with a local band. Tim McLaughlin will be heading that up here in Eugene. And it will be just over an hour long, and it'll be interesting to work with the storyline and create a dance piece. Obviously, it won't be classical in its look. It will be very contemporary and challenging, and we're already very excited about how we're going to use the pinball machines in the piece.
Okay, that answers the question whether Pinball Wizard will be in there, but I think...
Oh, absolutely. You couldn't be Tommy without that, could you?
No, and what about Go to the Mirror Boy, one of my favorite pieces from Tommy?
Yes, absolutely, and we definitely will be using a mirror, and we'll definitely be using some special effects for that.
Is it more difficult to set dance to rock music, because it does move pretty fast and can have some quick changes and that sort of thing?
Not these days. I think if you had tried to do something like that 30 or 40 years ago, I think it would have put, well, actually not 30 or 40 years ago, because even then we were starting to do more contemporary work. But probably 50 or 60 years ago, dancers would not have been as versatile in that respect as they are today. One of the interesting thing about classical dancers is that they are so versatile these days. That is the expectation. As they grow up, as they study, they don't just study classical ballet, but they're also taking modern classes and jazz classes and hip-hop classes. So they are, before they even get a job in a professional ballet company, most of them have been exposed to a lot of different dance forms. And that's important, because a lot of contemporary choreographers are doing a lot of very different and quirky movement that they expect dancers to be open to and able to. to perform.
They had to have seen it, and in a lot of cases have done it as well. When we talk about changes in the arts world, though, I guess the biggest one is that it's been, you know, budgets got really tight, certainly during the recession, and I wonder if there have been periods in the 35-year history of the Eugene Ballet when you thought, uh-oh, we may not make it.
Yes, there have been times. I think the one thing that has helped us survive is that, and this might sound a little odd, is that we haven't gotten major amounts of funding that we have become totally reliant on.
No one pot that could disappear.
Yeah, we earn over 60% of our revenue through touring and ticket sales, and 40% is donated. A lot of arts organizations, it's the other way around. 40% is earned and 60% is raised. We could certainly do better on the fundraising side of our organization. But in another way, it's taught us, one, to learn how to operate in a very lean way. When we tour, we're very good at coming in and setting up in one day and doing the performance and then tearing down and moving on. And our company manager, Josh, is very good at making the tour enough with the towns close enough together that we can really make it work financially.
So really some smart planning coming into play here. So a lot of people pulling on the ropes there to make things work. Tony Pimble, of course, the co-founder and artistic director of the Eugene Ballet Company. Thanks for this peer inside the workings of the Eugene Ballet.
Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you, and best of luck with the rest of the season.